We have eschewed our movie criticism hats once again for another half-isode, and we're in full music regalia, the modern Beethovens of our times. Welcome to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. It's a half-isode for another Best Original Song category. I am your co-host, Mike. This is my co-host, also Mike.
Must be the Oscar off-season over here, because, yeah, there's a lot of weird get-ups, I would say, like watching fashion choices made by not only 1950, but upcoming 92, which will be coming soon from us, I guess. And this is, yeah, these are some strong fashion choices.
This is an interesting cerebrus that we're doing today. We're recording three half-isodes in one shot. This is another half-isode, the 1950 Best Original Song, and boy, are you in for some listening pleasure today.
Oh my God. I literally woke up. I won't tell you which song, but I woke up with one of these songs in my head.
It was Mule Train.
It was not Mule Train. I'm so glad it was not Mule Train.
Oh my God, that song. So if you haven't been with us for a half episode before, these are kind of short shot versions of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. We take a category. It's thus far been Best Original Song, and will continue to be for this episode as well. We take the five nominees from that category, just kind of parse through them, and since they're not exactly movie related, we know a lot less about what we're talking about.
Well, but still, all our friends and relatives are like gushing with praise over these episodes, so we don't know about our real fans.
Yeah,
maybe they're all
give it 30 minutes. I'd say.
But everybody seems to like these, so we're gonna keep them coming.
Yeah, why not? It's a way to give you guys a quick little dose of us when we don't have a full retrospective done. But let's dive right into it for the 23rd Academy Awards, which took place at the RKO Pantages Theater in Hollywood, March 29th, 1951. We're covering the best original songs made for film of the 1950s movies, and we're going to start with the winner, which was Mona Lisa from the movie Captain Carey USA. Mike, how many times have you seen Captain Carey USA?
Zero!
Okay. Music and lyrics by Ray Evans and Jay Livingston, and let's get a little taste.
Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you. You're so like the lady with a mystic smile. Is it only 'cause you're lonely they have blamed you? For that Mona Lisa strangeness in your smile. Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa?
Or is Alan Ladd stars in this movie. He is from Shane. I was waiting for that. G.I. Joe's smoking while shooting in shootouts. Full smoke going on. The cigarettes don't drop. Smoking while shooting.
The 50s were amazing.
There's a handsome man in a speedboat, right?
Sure.
It's dark.
Yeah.
The one clip I watched of this. And then Alan Ladd crawls out from under the man's legs, where he was hiding, naturally, and says, "Thank you for your help, but I'm going to stick around and bother people." So this is the kind of movie we got.
And that was the basis for every film in 1950.
Apparently he stuck around after World War II getting his vengeance for something that happened to him in the war. Kind of looks interesting, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. The premise looks interesting.
The premise.
Trailer. Because this what I saw looks like it has nothing to do with anything going. And this movie, if you go on IMDb, is described as a thriller, a suspense, a drama. It's not a musical. I have no idea where this song fits.
So I kind of found a clip somehow. Okay. It took many a YouTube searches, but I found a clip. And performed in the movie, as you said, by Charlie Spivak. He is I thought it was La Cucaracha's. Mike's like, no, that's a cockroach. No, mariachi. Like a mariachi just singing in the street.
Yeah.
And
as one does.
What he's doing is he's giving cover to, I think, Alan Ladd, who's like a spy. And there's all these troops, you know, marching around.
Okay.
And then he does something like spy game. So it's kind of an interesting thing. I was like wondering what was going to happen
Like I said, the premise on IMDb reads, a group of agents in the U.S. Office of Strategic Services, which is the forerunner of the CIA, are sent to France during World War II to knock out the French railroad system. And in accomplishing this mission, most of them will be killed because of an inside betrayal. After the war, one of the agents returns to find the traitor.
Spoilers ahead!
And this song, Mona Lisa.
But it's a distraction, that song.
This has to be one of the top five most forgettable songs I've ever heard.
Well, one man that may, you know, argue with you is Nat King Cole, my friends. Because Nat King Cole...
Yeah, he's talented.
He spent 8 weeks at number one on the Billboard Top 100 for the soundtrack because he was released on the single... he was the single.
Yeah, I'm proud of him.
Right. He's very good. He's very good.
No, he's actually, you're not going to shit on Nat King Cole's talent.
Quite the voice. But the song... Yeah, go ahead.
Going through this and getting the prep work we did for this episode, I had to listen to this song three times because every time I would try to like go back to it, I had no idea what it was. I could not remember it for the life of me.
It's a bit forgettable. Yeah. However, that voice, though, you can't
forget. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's silky smooth.
I like the full orchestra version. I don't know which one we'll put into the episode, but there's a lot of different versions. So if you do enjoy the song, it is out there. It's been covered by 1,001 musicians, from Andy Williams to Elvis Presley to Bing Crosby, Harry Connick Jr., to name just a few. It was used in Rear Window, Hitchcock's Rear Window, 4 years later, and then later on in Brando and Broderick's The Freshman. So some reuses there.
You have so much information about this, and all I wanted to do was just say how awful and forgettable it was, so you're really making me look bad.
No, you had some good information at the beginning. We both had some good information. I was like smiling at your information. That's what makes me happy nowadays, when you like bring up nuggets, production nuggets. That's just where my heart...
Where you want
to
exist.
That's the keys to my
heart.
You want to
be in that sweet
this
spot.
This romance.
Yeah.
Especially with all these seductive songs.
Oh, that they're going to get more so.
Singing to one another.
And maybe you and I can sing the next one together.
I did want to heckle a thing or two before we move on.
Please.
As I like to do. Nat King Cole's musicians, are they not supposed to look at him? And
look me in the eyes!
Are they not supposed to move a muscle above the shoulders? Above the waist, I should say.
It was a different time, man.
Because they're just like frozen, looking away like a music video picture shoot, right? Album cover shoot.
You could see Nat King Cole having that in his rider back in the 50s. It's like, do not approach Mr. King Cole.
Christian Bale.
Do not look at Mr. King Cole.
Christian Bale-like language. Don't look at him! But they're just standing there, all of them, and then when it widens to a larger shot, you can actually see their hands moving. So,
so you know they're alive?
It's very weird. Yeah, they're not mannequins. That song won.
Next song is Be My Love from The Toast of New Orleans. Boy, are you in for a treat. Music by Nicholas Brodsky, lyrics by Sammy Cahn. Here's a taste.
Be my love, for no one else can earn this yearning, this need that you and you alone create. Just fill my arms the way you fill my dreams, the dreams that you inspire.
Just a contest to who can sing louder.
It's two people yelling.
I had a hard time getting through this song on a couple YouTube clips.
Yes.
I cannot watch this movie without being paid.
Oh, it's awkward. The best, though, the scene. If you go on YouTube, you'll find this in
the whole movie's scene. On there, by the way. Yeah.
For free.
Literally. Yeah. No, true.
You'll see the scene. And there's just, they keep panning back to an old guy. They cut back to an old guy with a mustache sitting in a chair who's just like increasingly frustrated with what he's seeing. And it's like he gives these most bizarre looks like, how dare you sing? Who is this man in this black Santa type hat that came from a sailboat? And
listen, this is the kind of hat, I'm glad you brought this up, that... You know, rich, bougie kids in the 1920s and fairy tales used to wear to bed.
I don't know what. Yeah. It's a
nightcap.
It's unbelievable. Everything about this is unbelievable.
And the voice contrasted with the cap, contrasted with his intense face, trying to sing louder than her.
And the first 2 seconds of it, she hits this note that's like, I think every glass in my house shattered. Like, it's just, it's, it hits something that shouldn't be humanly possible.
The sound quality wasn't good enough to really contain it. It was kind of like the early days of our podcast.
Yes.
Your beautiful voice could just not be contained by the microphones that we had originally that are sitting on your shelf in shame now.
Yes, yes.
Behind us.
Antiquities.
Yeah. Right. I guess go on YouTube to check it out for sure. I was worked up, I think, for a time there into a homicidal rage. It's just... terrible. This is a shrill nightmare, and all copies of this song must be destroyed.
it's basically, it's what you think of when you hear stereotypical 1950s musical.
Right.
This is exactly what I think of, just like borderline nonsensical sounds coming out of two people.
Well, I guess we need another musical to release next week. Let's get the loudest singers we can find. They're both opera singers, and they can't act from what I can tell. It's pretty rough.
I didn't even get that far, man.
Did we say who was written by and whatnot?
Yeah, I have music by Nicholas Brodsky. I said lyrics by Sammy Kane.
Performed by Catherine Grayson and Mario Lanza, two opera singers there. I guess they I guess they had movie careers somehow as well. I do want to mention that this is New Orleans in the 1950s, and it's all white people.
Well, as most things were apparently in the 50s, according to like Hollywood and everyone in revisionist history. It's up until, I think, 2017.
Right. So I watched another clip from this movie.
Why?
No, I watched like 14 seconds of it because the same actress, Grayson, dresses up in full geisha outfit, makeup included. So that wasn't offensive at all.
Yeah, no.
My God. It's just racist, ridiculous.
We offended
racism.
Everyone's sense of sound, so let's offend their sense of sight.
You could skip this movie, and we're not watching it unless we're paid the big bucks by somebody.
I don't think there's bucks big enough.
It's on YouTube for free.
Yeah, that's about probably all you need to know, and is a good summation of what's going on here. We'll leave the borderline offensive song for in many ways, and we'll get to the not so borderline.
Be my love. Terrible.
It's terrible. It's a joke. I would pay money, though, to hang out with a guy in the mustache that's judging them for a while.
That's judging them? That owns, how many slaves?
Yeah.
What a piece of
so
shit.
Many.
Look,
so
he
many.
Gives.
Yeah. But that's the beauty of it. There's no subtext. Everything is just written on his face. Like, he's a dick.
He's the worst person alive, yeah.
So let's go from the borderline obscene to the borderline absurd.
Salagadoola, menchikaboola, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Put them together and what have you got? Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Salagadoola, menchikaboola, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. It'll do magic, believe it or not. Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Now salagadoola means a menchikaboolaroo, but the thingamabob that does the job is bibbidi-bobbidi-boo.
Oh, song near and dear to my heart, Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Boo, from Cinderella, music and lyrics by Mac David, Al Hoffman, and Jerry Livingston.
Mike has a shrine to them in his basement.
Just a massive erection right now.
Oh, God.
Go ahead.
Performed by actress Verna Felton in the movie.
Damn right it was.
Okay. I have a list of problems that are really just kind of fun things I wanted to break your balls about. So I'm enjoying this. That pumpkin was given legs and arms. Yep. Was it given a brain? And if it was given a brain, does it have a soul? Who is this sorceress playing God in the scene?
It's the fairy godmother, Michael. We all have one.
All right. The mice are turned into horses.
Correct.
That will be Cinderella's slaves for the evening.
Only until midnight.
And the mice don't want this. They're running away. And their choice, the one funny sounding mice, that sounds the funniest, the fat one.
Yes.
He tries to run away. And when he tries to run away, the cat, whose name is Lucifer, I might add.
Bit on the nose.
The first.
There's subtext there.
Animated being of. Animate being, I should say. Never mind animated. That's been named Lucifer since perhaps the devil himself.
Right, sure.
This cat is about to eat the mouse.
Well, that's what cats do, Mike.
and the mouse is given the choice. Talk about the writing dilemmas. Again, Disney, brilliant. So this was supposed to be a complaint.
Into it, yeah.
It was supposed to be a complaint, but it's actually a good thing. So the mouse is given death or horse. And he
which is a conflict all of us in our daily lives have encountered at one point or another.
It was a mastery of the death versus horse dilemma there, you know, that paradox.
I would like to remind you that earlier in this movie, those mice, of their own free will, built and sewed a dress together for Cinderella.
But they did it as mice.
Right, well, yes. You make a lot of clothes, get a lot of clothing from mice, Mike?
This fairy godmother is breaking the laws of nature and the United States Constitution. I'm pretty sure she's breaking some scientific accords Trump may or may not have pulled us out of by now. What, WTF? I just need answers
she
to this.
She did appear out of nowhere. I mean, that might have been your first tip off that things were going to go. Well, here's a couple things I have written down about this song.
One more thing.
Oh, go ahead. No, finish up.
Yeah, because you need your time in the sun. Because my nonsense is just getting a rise out of you. So the last thing is midnight? Really? The girl's got to be in bed by midnight? I know it's the 1950s, but post-prom's going till like 2 in the morning, man. That's terrible. This fairy godmother, you just turned mice into horses, but you can't let the spell go beyond midnight?
She's an old lady, man. Midnight to her is like a billion o'clock.
Listen, I'm kidding. This is a perfectly charming song of fun and pagan ritual. Hail Satan. Hail Satan.
Yes. Hail Hydra, as it is. I have written down that this song is the GOAT, plain and simple, greatest of all time. The best part, though, seriously, the best part about seeking this song out was seeing that people had actually dedicated their time to making lyric videos to this song.
Oh, cool.
Radicadula, metricabula, bibbidi bobbidi boo. And people spelled it out. But the most amazing part, everybody spelled it the same way.
Really?
Yeah. So here's my question to you. Impromptu spelling test, Mike. Spell salagadula, metricabula, bibbidi bobbidi boo for me.
No.
That's correct. Congratulations. No, seriously. Salagadula.
Salagadula?
Yeah, give it to me. Because everybody
spells
it. Can you
use it in a sentence?
Yes. I want you to spell salagadula.
Origin, root of the word, please.
The nether realm, the dark realm of Hades, apparently, according to your origin story for the godmother.
Salagadula. S A L A G A D U L A.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Oh. It's a double O, not a U. Unfortunately, we're going to have to turn you into a horse.
That mice is adorable, though.
Mice. Yeah, we all know I have a soft spot for Cinderella, but there's no getting around how ridiculous this song is.
Are you done? Yes. Because I'm a little mad at your older brother named Shmaev.
You've been really carrying a torch against him for the last couple of episodes.
So apparently you went, well, listen, because I'm an older brother. I have 4 younger brothers. Mm-hmm. How did he not heckle you out of this phase, like, immediately? Shmaev, how did you not do this? It's your duty as an older brother. Your younger brother is home watching Cinderella. He's home from school watching Cinderella. How did your father say, honey, I think we got to throw this video cassette out and not take him to the store anymore. Video stores do not exist for this kid going forward.
I would sooner die than let anyone touch that copy of my VHS.
Wow, I'm just surprised at your brother there.
These are all very important questions that maybe we will one day. Also, probably
you're going to have Dave on for many reasons.
It's Iron Man 3. Sign of how we've gotten to this point in our podcast.
Iron Man 3 and Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo. I have some serious Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo questions for Shmaev.
Disney's going to release them as a double feature one day. Next song.
Clopping along the mountain chain. Soon they're gonna reach the top. Clippity clop, clippity clop, clippity 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 clopping along. There's a plug of char, a back and forth, a miner in Corona. There's
a guitar for a westerner way out in Arizona. There's a
clippity clop and 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 clippity clop.
How far you go? This was a year of onomatopoeia at the Oscars, by the way.
Well, that's interesting because these are Oscar nominated songs, right? So it's like either it was the clippity clop and bobbity boo song, or it was just a pile of pans falling out of a pantry that someone picked up on a microphone.
It's not best original screenplay of the song, or best original writing,
right?
Best original lyrics.
Songwriting, no,
it's the best overall song,
Mule Train from the movie Singing Guns, music and lyrics by Fred Glickman, Hi Heath, and Johnny Lange.
Tommy Scott, don't forget him.
Okay, sure, yeah, can never forget Ramblin' Tommy Scott. My fairy godmother, I think.
Originally performed by Ellis Buzz Butler, who I think was a crooked cop in L.A. Confidential.
Buzz Butler, what a name. Oh, God, the 50s were awesome.
Sung by Vaughn Monroe in the movie.
Vaughn Shaky Monroe.
Another movie that's fully available on YouTube.
For good reason, probably.
The featured clip has the quote, "Lady, if I ever played poker with you, I'd remember a whole lot more than your eyes."
He's talking about a vagina, you see.
So PETA is not the only enraged organization after watching this movie. All of womankind probably should hate this movie
probably
as well.
Probably mankind,
too. And he's the sheriff.
Yeah, he's the sheriff.
So he rape kisses her next in that clip, right? And then she burns him with a cigarette.
Yeah.
It's a fun musical, folks. Clippity clop. Happity do dibbity blop.
You're just playing hard to get, aren't you?
There's a reason that Harvey Weinstein was allowed to do what he did until 2017 by most standards. Like,
God,
it took
almighty.
Us a while to adjust in life. Hopefully we're on the right path.
Terrible, terrible, terrible. So the song in the movie is these two cowboys, this one guy, Vaughn Monroe,
it's absurd,
singing this song while the other one has this huge smile, this fat
drunken
fuck,
smile,
fat fuck piece of shit, just smiling as he's whipping
beating
these beautiful
shit out
horses,
of these horses. Yeah,
just whip.
And he's the background singer too, technically.
Sight of the horses gasping for air and pain in pain, while this asshole is singing his onomatopoeia nonsense for an Oscar nom.
You're setting it up beautifully because I have the same. This is like when I first watched it, I was like, where's Will Ferrell? Like, where's Will Forte? This is an SNL parody version of a song that would be nominated. I was expecting him to start talking about his drinking problems and, like, how he has nothing.
With that same tone of voice.
He's distinctly ridiculous.
Clippity-clop, I beat my wife. I haven't had a shave in 14 years.
I will give him some props, very little props, for having a somewhat distinctive voice, because he does go lower and weirder.
He goes weirder, that's sure.
Right, and it's hard to have a distinct voice with this sound equipment. I think we've established this, because they all just sounded like this, see? Right. Men, women, children.
1940s bank robbers.
Hey there, Mr. Hitchcock, how do you do?
I'm going to go ahead and read lyrics, just read them in monotone voice, from the third verse of the Oscar-nominated song, Mule Train. Ready? There's some room at Chisholm Hills for the settlers in the hills. Get along, mules, get along. Clippity clop, clippity clop, clippity clippity, clippity clippity. Clopping along, mule train, hey.
You should do that at a beat poetry jam or something.
Like a Def Jam poetry session.
Everybody should have oversized mugs. We should be in the movie So I Married an Axe Murderer.
No, they should be throwing garbage at me is what should be happening.
Somebody just snapped. I can't snap. They just snap their fingers for applause.
Yes. Oh, what a song.
That's terrible.
What a country.
It's awful.
Now here's our final one.
Wilhelmina, she's the cutest little girl in Copenhagen. Wilhelmina, she has all the fellas crazy in the noggin in Copenhagen. And the roses on her cheeks, and the music when she speaks, and how sweet her kisses taste. Sugar gainers like her mama's Danish pastry, Wilhelmina.
So that was the song Wilhelmina from Wabash Avenue, music by Joseph Miro, lyrics by Mac Gordon. To me, it's one of the only one of the five songs that's actually, a song.
I woke up with this song in my head.
Oh, really? All right.
This was the one. Sorry, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo. I wake up in the middle of the night with that song in my head. But this song.
After you've come to, your whole family's been murdered. You're holding
an axe. This was in my head. And I was like, Jesus.
That's because you had four songs of just disgrace before. That's just nonsense. And then you have actually lyrics and a song here. This is going to shock everyone to hear. This is my number one when we re-rank.
Performed by Betty Grable, yes. You said, or classical. Did not say, I don't remember. No. A couple other people covered it, Alice Faye and the Sportsman Quartet, available on YouTube. Probably the best version, well, I mean, maybe not the most talented version, but the most interesting to listen to is Danny Kaye's version, because he has like somebody doing like a German accent and playing it for comedy and shtick.
You went deep on this, huh?
Look, overall, about the lyrics, I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure this is, entire song is a metaphor for sex. Toboggan means dick. But I guess this song, yeah, but also, rhyming Copenhagen and toboggan is I gotta clap.
That's the pinnacle of, it's the pinnacle of Sov's lyric.
And right? Noggin. Mm-hmm. Noggin, Copenhagen, toboggan. It's well done.
Oscar.
It's well done. but look, I'm glad I was an 80s baby after this whole category.
Yeah, I mean, we're really not trying to like shit on anyone's childhood here, but these songs were tough to take. I did objectively like Wilhelmina, and I love Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo for reasons that have nothing to do with the song.
Couple things on Wabash Avenue, the movie that Wilhelmina is in. The Wicked Witch of the West, Margaret Hamilton, is in this movie.
And she is playing the Wicked Witch of the West, pretty much.
Yeah, she incites an all-out brawl in a saloon. So this movie is basically about a bunch of showgirls. Starring Betty Grable as like the best of the showgirls.
It's got undertones of like women's rights and protesting and
it actually kind of looks interesting. I mean, the full trailer looks fairly good. It's just bizarre because I don't know. It's 1950.
And Mike and I talked about this beforehand. You have all these really bizarre pictures and bizarre settings and source material, and then you have films in the same year, All About Eve and Sunset Boulevard came out, like some of the pillars of cinema that still hold up today. So it's amazing that they all came out in the same time.
Yeah, and then you have this movie with the quote, "Hey there, big boy."
Yeah, right, exactly. So getting a little bit of everything.
Oh my God.
All right, let's re-rank musical perfection. Well, this shouldn't be too tough. Number five, I'll go first.
Oh, really? No,
What? What do you mean, really? There's no words.
Be my love. That's my words.
That's my number four.
It's terrible.
What's your number four?
Mule Train.
Oh, thank God. I was going to jump down your fucking throat.
Stupid.
Be my love.
End of podcast.
I think my microphone broke.
Number threes.
Why is my mixer giving me a middle finger? My number three was Mona Lisa.
I have Wilhelmina.
Yeah, Wilhelmina was my one. I said that, which makes Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo my
favorite. It's actually a decent song. I mean, it shouldn't be sung in an English accent by, you know, a white person in...
Any particular reason why not?
No, because it's about in the first person. Let's put it that way. I failed to mention this. They were singing it in the first person in the movie. Betty Grable was doing it.
Yeah.
And she's American. And it's about a Swedish girl or a German. She says nine instead of no.
I was just happy to hear words.
Kisses taste like Danishes.
Isn't that how you and me part every session?
Danishes, yes. I love them.
What was your 2-1?
Bippity. No, I'm kidding. Mona Lisa was my number two. it's a very good song. It's like worth listening to once if
you
you're of our generation.
You had Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo as your number one?
Yeah, it's good.
Really? That shocks me after all the ball busting I was expecting from it.
No, it's a good song. It's very effective. I did bust your balls repeatedly. I do worship the devil, so it's okay in my book.
So you see the fairy godmother
Sixes burn on my head. I'll pull week. Out. what's that Roman Polanski movie with the devil? Oh, The Ninth Gate? Yeah. That's my Saturday. Every Saturday.
Can't remember the last time I had sex with a woman where the gates of hell weren't in the background.
Where is this podcast going?
I don't know. Songs! So, yeah, I had Wilhelmina 1, you had Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo 1. That's your 1950 Best Original Song category.
You made me do this category, and you didn't put your favorite song at number
you
1.
You picked the year, my good sir.
No, I didn't.
You're right.
That's a joke between us. Me being mad at him and laughing all the more.
Let us know what you think. Especially, you really should seek these songs out. They're all available, like we said, on YouTube. There's a bunch of different covers as well.
We'll tweet out a bunch of links for you.
Yeah, we'll do our best to keep you in the loop of everything going on in the world of original song in 1950.
That was surprisingly fun, though.
Yeah, why not?
Who knows if it was a fun listen, but it was fun to
read. That's what these half episodes are supposed to be. Be sure to reach out to us, Mike, and Oscar on Facebook, Mike, and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on the Twitter machine, Mike, and Oscar on Reddit, MikeMikeAndOscar.com, MikeMikeAndOscar@gmail.com, and sing us a song.
Yeah, talk to us. Yeah. We have fun on social media. If you can't sing or dance, and
neither can we.
Just chat with us
company.
In 140 characters.
280. Come on, man.
Oh, really?
What do you mean, really? You've been tweeting.
Yeah, but it's still 140.
No, it's 280. They switched it.
Oh, boy. I got to get more economical. I thought I was getting under 140 all the time. Economy is key.
I am a genius.
Economy is key to the writer. I just giving myself more credit than I deserve.
I'm the most efficient writer in the world.
Twitter's going to help me. See, it's got to help me with my endless act twos. Damn it.
We'll see you guys next time. Reality sucks. Keep watching movies and listening to songs and grooving along with us.
See ya.
Way out yonder, there's a shovel for a miner who left his home to wander. There's some rheumatism pills for the settlers in the hills. Get along. Get along, clippity-clop, clippity-clop, clippity-clippity, clippity-clippity, clippity-clopping along.